Gary Monk, centre-back and legendary Swansea City captain. Played for Torquay, Southampton, Barnsley, captained the Swans in all four English divisions, went on to manage them too, spent over 11 years at the Liberty Stadium, so he's statistically very likely to have seen Leon Britton naked. Now he's manager of Sheffield Wednesday, but of course, most notably, he's an author. And let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
I feel like he definitely gets his wife to call him the £90 million block. During sex.
Oh my God, it's Freddie Eastwood!
Yeah, overall terrible, I hate it.
Who said this? Gary Monk or Bruno Mars? Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, where each week we read and discuss another forgotten, obscure or just plain dodgy footballer's autobiography, because that's what our lives are now. Over the weeks we're going to be reading such classics as Jermaine Pennant's Mental, Craig Bellamy's Goodfella and Jason McAteer's Blood, Sweat and McAteer's. But today we're reading Gary Monk. Gary Monk's Loud, Proud and Positive. And I'm joined by our book group, Jack Bernhardt.
Hi.
Amy Lawson.
Hello.
And James Belgium.
Hiya.
And me, James Bug. Do you like the increased use of sound effects already this week?
I feel like we're the budget's been upped very, very quickly.
I recorded that this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're here right now.
Yeah. We're joined by a whole group of 15th century monks.
Yeah. From Swansea Cathedral.
Yes.
If there is one.
Guys, what do we think of all the Louis Saha stuff from last week? I wasn't sure whether to read it, whether to mention it or not, because we did... We talked about his wife a lot during the whole thing, and then it turns out that they broke up.
To be fair, we read that whole book, and like that was enough reading for that week.
That's true.
I couldn't read bank statements for a week. I couldn't read a lot of stuff because I'd used up all my reading.
It's true. And also, could we see the writing on the wall in the book?
Yeah, it's
true. It's a sad thing to say, but I could have called it.
Yeah, it's when you publish stuff like, oh, when my wife has her period.
That was cited in the divorce case.
Yeah,
in the papers,
yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah.
But divorce isn't funny, and they had kids, and it's sad.
It is.
Great start.
Anyway, Gary Monk.
Yeah. I suppose it just shows that we need to do research after the book as well.
That's true.
That's hard.
But Jack, you've been researching in your sleep. Reading. Tell me about your dream you texted me the other day.
Oh my God, no way.
In a message separate to the WhatsApp group. Sorry, guys. I know.
Oh God, what was it? I've completely... Oh yeah, it was that you... You called me and said, I'm so sorry, we're going to have to stop doing the podcast because I'm now doing a podcast with Josh Widdicombe where we make up nonsense transfer targets who have gone to other teams.
It's a pretty good idea, it's a good podcast.
And one of them was, forget Jesse Lingard, I'm going to say hello to Jesse Linchicken.
Wow.
It's not even a pun. I think it stuck.
That's
with
why
me.
I like even more about it. Jesse Linchicken.
But I remember very vividly. You know when you see something typed out in a dream? Do you ever see that?
Yeah.
Like sometimes you can see it and because someone said, it's Jesse Linchicken. I was like, that doesn't work. And I saw it written down and was like, oh, it totally works. So basically, this podcast is taking over my life.
Mm-hmm. I can tell.
I mean, I had to read this one on the tube over, and I got a lot of looks.
Okay. No one expects it to be a book.
It barely is a book.
I had to read it in a hospital room, and a surgeon came out and looked at me and went, huh? James, how you been? Any dreams about me?
I don't understand the Linchicken.
I know. there is nothing to understand. It's so weird. But it's so vivid in my head. I think I was listening with a crowd of people and they were all like, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Josh has nailed it. James has nailed it.
You've Linchicken. Been done over that.
They were like, I'm sad your podcast
comes
to an
end. We got iTunes. Yeah.
But you're well.
I'm well. I just can't get that out of my head now.
I know.
I don't understand anything about it. But
well, I'm gonna get something else.
Yeah, it makes sense.
We're gonna play. We're gonna start talking about Gary Monk. Keep playing it. Doesn't work that well, but keeping it.
How much do they charge the monks?
The monks. They're here. It's a flat rate for the day.
You're gonna get your money's worth out of it.
Reasonable.
You got it. It's so we're gonna read Gary Monk's book, Loud, Proud, and Positive. We'll get to the title. Don't worry. We're all about to bring it up. But first of all, I'm gonna take us back over to our little friends, Amazon. Heard of them?
They're having a good decade.
They've been doing really well this
Strong decade.
Yeah. Strong 8-9 years. Yeah. They've been going. The book has 4.5 stars on Amazon from 8 reviews. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's higher.
That's higher than I expected.
Do you think the words combined in them 8 reviews add up to more words than are in this book?
Yeah, possibly. It is quite a short book, which is quite good.
That's no, happy for it.
We have to, yeah.
Louis Sard's book was long.
Mm. Unlike his marriage.
Oh my God!
Okay, let's reset. Lynch chicken.
Here's a 5-star review from Butt called Captain Marvel, all caps. Gary Monk, nice bloke, club legend, hates Cardiff. Thumbs up from me.
He didn't read the book. No,
That's very true.
You could just go, oh, Gary's written a book, in it goes with the review. Yeah. But I'd like to tell you more about the buying habits of someone who buys Gary Monk's book. But I clicked on Butt. And he's never reviewed anything else.
Oh,
so it really made an impression on him. Yeah. This book. Really
it's a bot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bot.
We're going to go into more depth about the book later. We'll be doing a dramatic reading. We're back to dramatic reading this week. No sexy reading, sadly, from Gary's book. It wasn't a very sexy book, was it?
No, it was not sexy. I mean, you look at the front cover, you see Gary's little face there. And you think, this is going to be hot.
Yeah, I thought that too.
And it wasn't.
It really isn't. It's very very overly laminated, my book, because I'm just picking it up. Is yours not?
No, mine's a little bit... I said this before, it's like a... it has the feel of a parish book published, self-published by a church about the building of their church.
It really does. It looks like the most accurate description.
Yeah. It's really weird. You sort of... I was looking at it, it's like,
I think I know why mine was laminated, because I'm pretty sure mine's been stolen from Lancashire County Library. Because it has a Lancashire County Library sticker inside. I bought it off our friend's Amazon, but I think it has been stolen. However, actually, maybe not, because it has got a price tag in there as well. So maybe it's a library that sells things.
So wait, okay.
If it hasn't, I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean a shop?
Yeah. Lancashire County Library. If you want your book back, I'll send it. I'm quite happy to. I didn't steal it. I'm not paying the fines, but I'll give you the book back.
Lancashire City Library have been listening to all podcasts for the past 20
years.
We'll find it. We'll track it down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
And that fine is big.
Yeah.
It will be. This book came out in
2012. Oh, we're going to talk about when this book came out. Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
So we'll also be doing a quiz at the end.
Yeah.
Of course, again. And some fun games along the way. But first, let's go around the room. In a sentence or two, what do you think of the book and why? I'll start with Amy.
Oh, my God. You don't want to start with me. You know what? First few pages, very positive.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we'll go into detail. Overall, wow, Gary disappointed me.
Oh. Mm. It started positive. Got a bit loud. Got a bit proud.
Yeah. Actually, yes. So really, we can't take the piss out of the title.
Yeah.
It should have been called Positive, Loud, Proud.
Positive, in that order. Loud, yeah. Which order were you hit with that? So, how positive do you feel? You felt positive at the beginning.
Like the first, not even the first chapter. The first few pages, I was like, you know what? Brendan Rodgers opening, really positive.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers does the
forward.
That's what it is. We've got it
wrong.
We've
got some real catchphrases on this podcast.
Forward.
God. But yeah, overall, terrible. I hated it. Jesus, please.
Brutal.
James?
It was just dull, wasn't it? That's why. I think the three that I've read so far, so Huckabees, and then last week's Sahars, which was mad. I think when you go into something like this, you expect that they're all going to be the same. It's football, biography is roughly the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the three of them are so different.
That is true.
This one was by far the most disappointing, just because it's just dull. It's just... there's nothing going on there.
I know what you mean. That's a good thing for the longevity of the show as well, that we have found that we've identified that.
I think there's a danger in picking books by their title, which we did here. We thought, oh, that's a funny title name. There'll be some stuff in that.
Great,
not really.
Santa.
Before, Jack, I want to know what you thought about the book, but we've talked about the title enough. We have to mention it.
Mm-hmm.
Loud, Proud and Positive. Unusual choice.
It's not a lie. It's true.
Sure, but it feels like it's promising a little bit more than it gets.
Yeah, I would say, right. I didn't know how many people have read this book. I thought maybe Gary Monk came out in the book. But that because no one's read it, no one knows, and no one thinks we've got an openly gay footballer.
Yeah,
but that is the name. The name suggests that, right?
I'm not alone in thinking
that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if it, the thing is, if it was for a gay footballer, it'd be a bit on the nose.
Yeah, I agree.
Which makes the whole thing very confusing.
But for a footballer who isn't gay, and he mentions his wife.
Yeah,
he has pictures of his wife and his little child and everything. There's no real reason for that title either, really.
No, there's no reason for it, and it
he's not that positive always either.
Yeah, he's quite negative.
No, he's
actually
sort of a bit bitter. Of a moaner, but yeah.
He's pretty damn quiet.
Yeah, but also proud. I mean, it feels very like...
Yes.
I don't want to say queer baiting.
Oh, it could be.
Yeah,
I don't think it is because I don't think Monk is thinking, oh, you know, I've got to get
up
it.
The gay community.
I imagine a load of really disappointed homosexuals reading this book, like,
being like,
oh,
it's just attendances.
There are a lot of attendances mentioned.
So many attendances mentioned.
Jack, your thoughts on the book in general?
It should have been written about 5 years later, and I'm so angry. I'm so angry about when it was written, and it's my biggest. It's my biggest bugbear of the whole thing.
So for context, Gary Monk was still playing at this time.
This was book was written in 2012, and it finishes, and he says, at the time of writing, it finishes not even at the end of the 2011-2012 season.
Yes.
In the future, Gary Monk will go on to win the English Football League Cup. He will go on to be manager of Swansea. He will go on to beat Manchester United at Manchester United. None of that is covered.
Big things.
That's true. And he's managed several clubs
since. Lots of other clubs.
Exactly.
Birmingham.
It's crazy.
Is he at Borough now?
No, he's at Sheffield Wednesday.
Of course,
he has been there.
He's been at Borough, hasn't he?
Like, it's just baffling and infuriating. He is a Premier League footballer, and he talks like, I'm so happy that I'm a Premier League footballer. That is 10 pages of the book. It is ludicrous.
Maybe he thinks that's going to be my peak.
Little did he know.
I always think of him. I mean, I think this book is very much written for Swansea City fans general. I think it's probably even.
But I think you'd be disappointed if you're a Swansea City fan because
it's reliving all that. So right, here's my thoughts on it. When you said that they were quite different, I disagree. Actually, you remind me quite a bit of Darren Huckabee's book in a way, in that it felt like kind of one continuous thought, which is why I'm quite happy that I read it in one continuous go. Like, it kind of made sense of that. But I actually thought it was better than Darren Huckabee's book because Swansea over that time went on a real meteoric rise, like a really incredible rise. And whereas Darren Huckabee kind of flits between different clubs and different places, and there's no attachment to it, I kind of was caught up a little bit in the Swansea story. I was like, it really was quite impressive. They went from bottom of League Two in his time there to the Premier League. I know it ends at an annoying point, and it's not necessarily the most exciting written thing, but I thought it was okay.
I think, if anything, though, that makes it more frustrating.
Because it really was an incredible achievement.
The source material, wonderful.
Yeah.
Really great source material.
Yeah.
How it's written, awful.
Yeah, that's why I think...
It could have been so much better.
Yeah, at least wait another year.
Or another three games.
Yeah.
He literally says, three games to go and we're
Just
finish the season.
What about that?
Get the book out. We're going to get... People want to hear Gary Monk's story. Make it loud and proud.
Get it out.
The book does kind of just list off. Then we played Reading. Then we played Leeds. Then we played Coventry.
It's not even that though. It's it was a Tuesday night, 7 o'clock game, 24th of September.
There were 24,000.
It's unnecessary.
The person we co-wrote it with could be at fault there. The guy's name Peter Reed, not that one.
imagine.
Yeah. Well, Louis Saha almost ghostwrote Patrice Evra. So
yeah, why not?
You never know. The back of the book says, this is the story of Swansea City legend Gary Monk. Gary is a rare player. Not only has he played in all four of the Football League divisions, but he's captained his club in all four as well, which is very impressive, right?
That's a bit like Huckabee's weird record.
It's true, having scored in every single game he ever played.
Something weird like that.
In a book full of entertaining anecdotes about life in the Premier League, where he belongs.
Where he belongs, but we only get 10 pages of it.
It is frustrating, I agree.
It's not good.
I agree.
And he
never comes out as gay.
I was
so
genuinely
disappointed.
I was like,
so
page 156, and we're getting close now. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it soon.
I am gay.
Do a clean. It was me who was gay.
He might have thought about it and then read Louis Saha's book.
Oh, yeah.
I can't come out in this world.
I really want to play with Louis Saha.
No, they mentioned his £90 million block, where in the Championship playoff final against Reading, he makes a wonderful block.
Did you look it up?
I didn't look it up.
No, I didn't look it up.
I do research. Takes long enough to read the damn book. I had to fit in a hospital appointment. We're going to go chapter by chapter through the story. Sadly, there's no fun chapter names like the other ones, which is a shame because, you know, there's no tyranny of property agency in this. It's very much chapter one, chapter two, chapter three, chapter four.
Also, interesting thing that I've only just thought of. No, very, very few mentions of years. Like, so it's you're like, you sort of get them at the top of the chapter being like, that was what this season was, and then you sort of forget, and so you kind of go like, wait, when was this again?
Where am I again?
I can tell you how many people were there, but I do not know where I am or what is going on.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's quite disorientating for that reason, whereas at least Huckabee had that thing of like, this is the big match, and it was played in 2009.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, I'd sort of forgotten how old Gary Monk is.
Same. Yeah. When he's I was an older player by the time I got to the Premier League. And you're like, were you? How old are you?
You know what, Jack?
How long has this been happening?
It's a bit like having too much pate.
How dare you? Yeah. There was not enough pate in this one. This was like carbs.
All bread, no pate.
And I was like, at first, I was like, great info. Great. This is what I need. I need a power carb, some info, and some great. Can I say one thing that is great about this book? So many great references to players from the noughties and the 90s.
That is what we got into this for as well. So that is good. Another reason why I liked it more.
So many great ones that I was like, oh my god, it's Freddie Eastwood.
Yeah,
he's mentioned Freddie Eastwood. Yeah, he's mentioned Lee Trundle.
Everybody,
the gang's all here. No Dominic Strauss-Kahn.
Did mention Strauss-Kahn once actually.
Once,
true. I think we should do the pate scale for every book.
So I think I've read
too much pate.
So this was very carby, I would say.
Okay, very bread heavy.
Bread heavy.
Dry carbs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very dry.
Butter?
Like crackers.
Oh, no butter. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely just like white bread. Sure.
I'll tell you what food it isn't. Lynn chicken. And that's
it's definitely not Lynn chicken. Oh, you can't eat Lynn chicken. Hang on.
Flies through all the teams he played for because he had loads of loans. He played for Torquay, Stockport, Oxford, Sheffield Wednesday, Barnsley on loan before he went on permanent. So that barely comes across right in the book.
There's a lot of journeymanness.
Yes.
Journeymanity?
Right at the beginning without being really specific. But only for a few pages. It is journeymanity, by the way. That is how you say it.
Journeymanity.
Like a sea cow.
The journeymanity.
But he talks about like all those clubs less than he does Lee Trundle on a bicycle. I'm glad he did that.
That's a great story. Yeah. So.
Fly through him.
It's slightly odd. And again, I mean, there's some nice stuff in there. There's talking about when he was at Torquay and he gets his permanent loan or permanent move to Torquay. And then he is called up for the, again, this is what's weird about the thing is the timings.
Yeah.
Like he's a youth player in 95, 96 and gets called up to be in another like
England under 16 squad,
and they're all like Premier League players. And he turns up and he's like, apparently he's like, oh, what should I wear? And people say, you've got to wear a suit.
His mum said that.
His mum said, you've got to wear a suit.
And no, it was his youth team coach.
He must have come home and said, mum, I need a Torquay United suit right away. And she was like, does such a thing exist?
How much time do I have?
Like it felt like a person coming back, like a kid being like, oh my god, I forgot my homework it needs to be done by tomorrow. Mum, you need to make me a working volcano right now. And so she makes him this suit. He turns up and they're all in trainers and like...
It's very sweet. I really felt... It's almost like Save the Cat.
Yeah.
I really felt for Gary Monk at the beginning.
That was... And I think that's sort of the thing where you are like, oh, it's... He's quite likeable here.
He is very likeable. His whole thing. I liked his bit at Watford.
Right.
When he went to that trial. That was awful.
Oh,
that was well written, actually.
Really well written. See, very positive.
He went on trial, just to give it a context, at Watford as a kid. He was given a trial by Kenny Jackett.
Yeah.
At his house, similar.
Yeah, I was going to say, very strange. What is it with the mid-90s and people staying at manager's house?
Harry Venables.
Being like, yeah, you can crash at my house.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I don't want to go. Nothing is Kenny Jackett, but I can't imagine like 50-year-old Kenny Jackett and 16-year-old Gary Monk had loads in common.
That's actually my sitcom pilot.
In my mind, Kenny Jackett hasn't aged from how old he is now, whereas Gary Monk has aged like 30 years. So. I've no idea how old Kenny Jackett
is. We can all agree that Gary Monk was born 40, right?
Yeah.
His pictures.
He looks like 30 at 16.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't have a concept of time for that reason.
He's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah. I was going to say Jennifer Garner in 13 Going on 30, so I'm really glad you went out with that one.
A similar movie.
Yeah, 13 Going on 30 is... to this day, I think it's the most regrettable film I ever cried during. cried during 13 Going on 30, and I think it's because
what
of the situation.
Part did you cry?
When she kind of comes back at the end, and they still get married at the end anyway.
Which is sweet.
Sorry, spoilers. But I thought... I think it was more because... I was sat by myself on a Saturday afternoon watching 13 Going on 30 and I started crying because of that one as much as the film.
You suddenly realised what your life had become. One thing I did really like about this, and this is one of the, I think the first time it happens, Gary Monk not afraid to admit crying. He's very open about his emotions, which is actually in a way that I was like quite impressed by.
Okay.
I was like, oh, this is good. So he comes back from the Watford trial and he says he burst into tears. Later on, he gets injured and he says he's burst into tears because he thinks his career is over. And that's good. I like when players do that.
That's true.
Yeah, he comes across as quite a genuine guy. I think he comes across as a perfectly nice guy.
Yeah, there are some things that...
He gets a bit angry.
He does. Well, actually, talking about that...
Oh, my God.
Monk by name, not by nature.
I love that. That would be the tagline.
Get
sorry
the Gregorian chant.
Quick, put it in. Laugh reaction. The first person he yells at the first person in the book on page 24, and there are a lot of people he goes on to yell at. First person he yells at is Gordon Strachan.
He says you're a joke a lot, and you're a disgrace.
The Gordon Strachan thing's really interesting because he's at Southampton. He goes on loan to Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
At Sheffield Wednesday, he goes out for not a drink. He's careful to say he's not going out for a drink.
Yeah.
He's going out to meet up with his friends.
Chris Waddle,
bizarre, at a bar, but he didn't drink.
For 30 minutes.
For 30 minutes.
He just met them at a bar.
A lot of Gary Monk's stories start like this, where you're like, you are setting up the groundwork for the excuses.
Yeah,
Chris
100%.
Waddle, Gary Monk at a bar in Sheffield's a great start.
Yeah.
So burpy today.
Just really net that beer quickly.
Yeah, he did.
We're drinking.
Oh yeah, to get through Monk.
We're
let me tell
you. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. First review of Jacket and Monk. We are drinking.
We're drinking. So, unlike Monk, who was teetotal.
Who was not drinking.
30 minutes.
We can't say it enough. But not drinking.
Then his manager says, "I heard you were out drinking," and he goes, "I wasn't, boss. I wasn't." He says, "I don't care. I'm going to have to tell Gordon Strachan that you were drinking." And then from then. So Gordon Strachan's his, you know, so he's on loan at Sheffield Wednesday. This is why
from
I'm not good to cut.
Yeah. So where were we? He's born in 19.
How old is he now? 30. Sorry.
But no, he goes back to his parent club.
Everything has changed. Gordon Strachan is like so against him and is like being mean to him.
And they've got to the FA Cup final.
He's being measured for a suit, and Gordon Strachan is apparently. is apparently standing behind him or in front of him, it's not clear, making faces like, what's this guy doing here? What's this Joker doing here?
Angry, Scottish.
Yeah. Massive arse. And he says, as if to say, what is he doing having a suit? I spun round and asked him, have you got a problem? This is his manager.
Yeah.
It's real intense.
He's probably about 17, 18 at this time. He's
who can say?
Yeah,
sure.
He's probably 46 at this time.
He actually is, I don't know, he's probably about 25. I can't work it out. It's really confusing.
No, he's tough.
He then just tried to laugh it off, and so I said, you're taking the piss. I don't even want to be here. I didn't even want this suit. And I assume then he took the suit off, but I don't think he did, because then he'd have to march out naked.
That's a funny image.
This is a better image,
That'd be a good story.
Yeah.
I made a list of all the people he goes on to yell at, though.
Okay.
Peter Risdale, just two pages later.
Ooh,
you're a disgrace. Wow. You're a joke. Other people he has a go at. Referee Eddie Evans, who's also a disgrace for sending him off. He has a go at FA drug testers.
Yeah.
Are you taking the piss or what? I've just lost the most important game in my career. You want me to pee into a bottle?
Can I just say? That
would have been a good joke.
That would have been a good joke, but he never makes it.
No.
They are literally taking the piss.
I was 100% sure that's where he was going to go with that, and he didn't.
Other people he has a go at. A nurse at a hospital in Scunthorpe. Graham Jones, Roberto Martinez's assistant. Mm-hmm. Paolo Sousa. And another unnamed referee who he calls a stinker.
Quite the stinker. You rotter! He also has a go at Cortez Bell, who is a Chester City player. But it just seems he has a lot of weird like rivalries. He seems to have very specific people who I'm like, I'm going to call this fucker out now in the Premier League. Let me tell you, Cortez Bell of Chester City, you're going down.
That's why he had to write the book quickly. Yeah. I've heard Cortez is writing a book on me. You need to get in there first.
But probably would have been like, I really like Gary Monk.
Yeah.
We had a coming together in one of our matches.
Cortez Bell sucks!
Yeah.
Do you mind if I move on to part two?
Yes, of course.
Please do.
But there's no part two, really. It's just joining Swansea and the Kenny Jacket years, where he kind of finds his home at Swansea, loves it. He goes on to become a mainstay of the team in League Two as they work their way up to League One. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, I quite liked some of this. Yeah. This is nice. Basically, one of the first interactions he has is with the players being told off for... They get into an argument at a bar over peach schnapps.
Oh, yeah.
It's because they ordered a bottle of peach schnapps and it was much more expensive than it was the week before.
Mm. That is How many story. Bottles of peach schnapps are Lee Trundle and Co.
And why are they making notes of the price? It's very weird.
Yeah. I quite like that was what endeared Gary to them. He was like,
true.
This group are together. They are really bonded as a group over this peach schnapps. Rather than coming in and be like, what shit show have I walked into?
It sort of had the vibe, and I feel like the whole book has quite a lot of this, of like the first episode of a sitcom.
Yeah,
like where someone comes in and they're like, you got a real task to take on these people, you know, make them ship shape. And he comes in and the first thing he has to deal with is a weird peach schnapps involved like fight. And then he's like, do you know what, these kids are gonna be all right. It's a real, it's that kind of vibe.
It's
to it,
so true.
But otherwise, apart from the schnapps gate, he gets on pretty well there. Guys, would you like to hear this week's dramatic reading?
Ooh,
oh my god, yes.
Already?
Jack would.
Already?
It comes quite early in the book. That's why I'm doing the reading quite early, I guess. It's cool.
That's a real Gary Monk.
Yeah.
They do it again.
Yeah. It's
early.
Do you think it's affected us? Do you think we've now become...
I can't tell stories anymore.
Yeah. We are now talking into the microphone, doing so because there's a microphone in front of our mouths.
This dramatic reading is called Gary Monk and the Forbidden Sandwiches.
Yes.
Cue dramatic music. We're in. We are in. Context, actually. Pause the dramatic music.
For God's sake.
Sorry. The context of the story is he was given a red card against Shrewsbury, which he has to go through some kind of disciplinary hearing because it looked like in getting sent off he accidentally headbutted this disgraced referee.
Which is said in such a way that was like, oh, the referee just fell over. Yeah. It just happened to look like I headbutted him.
This is all Gary trying to paint it towards him. Yep.
Very much so. But hey, I'll let you make your own minds up.
Yeah.
Let's get that dramatic music back on. I don't want to sound like that.
I'm back on.
Get it back on.
I've lost my mind.
Mr. DJ.
Okay. The following week, I was called before the Football Association of Wales in Cardiff, where they were trying to charge me with assault. We decided to appeal against all the charges, especially as the referee, Eddie Evans' report, states I had not touched him and they had tripped and fallen over. Yeah, so,
that feels like something where he went in afterwards and said, you tripped and fell over, didn't you?
Yeah. Didn't Eddie. Like, Eddie, you're a disgrace.
Go on my hand, go on my hand.
After our case was put forward, the three of us were asked to sit outside the room and they told us they would call us back in once they had made their decision. While we were waiting, I saw a large tray piled with sandwiches and drinks being taken in for members of the panel and the referee. 30 minutes later, even more food was taken in. Needless to say, we weren't offered any food. Very unusual how much food is going to the giant.
Yeah,
I imagine like plates and plates and
it's
plates.
It's sort of like Be My Guest in Beauty and the Beast. Like food.
A full hour after the hearing, we were called back into the room. In spite of the video evidence and the ref's statement, which I've already mentioned in the past page, they decided to drop the assault charge but turned in a guilty verdict for technical assault. What the hell does that mean? He writes in brackets. That was just pathetic from the panel. Another person he insults, the panel. So there we go. Another
people
panel.
Are disgraces, pathetic.
And
scum.
What was the other word we had? Stinkers.
Stinkers, absolutely.
Panel,
stinkers.
You're a bunch of stickers. So on top of the 2-game ban, which I'd automatically received, the panel gave me a further 3-game ban, plus another one, for luck, for the failed appeal. So 6 games in total. I suddenly remembered what I'd been told, that if I lost the hearing, I would have to pay the expenses of the tribunal. That meant those two mountains of sandwiches which are passed us in the corridor have been paid for by me. Technically, these are my sandwiches, so they're not having any more to eat. I went over to the sandwiches and marched out of the room carrying them in my hands, followed by a few of the FAW administration staff.
That is written weirdly, as if to imply he also carried a few of the FAW administration staff out with him.
I'll pay for you too. Come on, you're all with me.
Oh, God, no, Gary, please.
They asked me, what are you doing with the sandwiches? Chucking them in the bin, I replied. You can't do that. Watch me, I said. And once outside the room, I threw them all in the bin.
Oh, he proved a point.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing.
Get there. Looking back at it now, I think it was all a bit of a stitch up. Bam.
You're right. You're
Why
right.
throw them in the bin?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is that story would have been much better if Gary Monk had just eaten every single one of them. Yeah, maintaining eye contact.
These are mine.
Yeah, I paid for these.
Malin chicken. I want to move on to another bit of the book, which we never mention in the podcast. The photo section.
I love the photo section.
I feel like we should try and describe some of the pictures occasionally.
Yeah.
Let's go through some of the pictures in there. There's some very sweet pictures of him
very,
as a little
very
boy.
Very cute pictures of him as a little boy.
Very cute baby.
But genuinely, they are some of the best bits of the book.
Yeah,
they
are.
A lot of bits where you're like, that's fantastic.
So I was suddenly like, oh, that's his wife that he never mentioned.
His little baby he talks about?
He does, yeah. He doesn't actually mention his family again, does it, Darren? Doesn't mention his family at all in the book.
Yeah.
I don't think he realises that you can do that in books. I think he thinks he has to just list every single game that's happened.
Yeah. Him at 16.
Unbelievable.
He looks 30, 40.
At 40.
It's terrifying. It's really scary.
But also impressively, he hasn't aged. He looks quite young still.
He does look quite young.
He now looks young, but he looked very old at 16.
Yeah.
It's really nice how much he loves his family in these, I think.
It's very cute.
He's got pictures of his kid growing up, which is really sweet.
He's got a picture of his kid, like, within the first second of her life. That's so sweet.
He's got a lovely wife, it seems, as well.
He's adorable. Look at these.
Super sweet.
I love mum, baby, grow. I mean, there's a lot of him in Dubai.
Yeah, he goes to Dubai.
He specifies Dubai quite a lot. He's like, oh, we were in Dubai. There's a caricature that he got in Dubai. That's odd.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, no, you can't dimension. This whole section's fucked up.
How dare you make us talk about it?
It's bizarre.
But I mean, like, a lazy Sunday with Remy. I mean, if you're not
Remy
gonna
get his child,
baby.
Yeah.
Not, yeah.
Yeah.
The rat from Ratatouille.
Just me hanging out with Ratatouille. Having some beers with Remy.
Stop playing with names, but
stop playing with my hair. Oh my god, you're controlling me.
Me and Sully from Monsters, Inc. Yeah. One thing I did notice, Darren Prattley has great eyebrows.
Really good eyebrows.
What do you think of them, James?
Yeah, they're good.
Confirmed. Enter Roberto Martinez, and they move up the league from League One to the Championship. Roberto Martinez does a great job.
I love Roberto Martinez.
I know, he's very sweet.
Chapter 4. This is the chapter when he was hungry when he wrote it. Did you notice this?
No.
How's it?
In this chapter alone, within a few pages of each other, he says, I'll double check this. He says, bite, hunger, meal, craving, little more bite, and let's dig in.
Oh my god.
What an incredible spot.
Genuinely.
Honestly.
A spot
fantastic on the book.
Spot.
Well
that done.
Is incredible.
I think I noticed.
Are you writing a thesis on Gary Monk? Yeah.
He used craving in an unusual way, and that's when I noticed that. And I was like, I'm pretty sure he said hunger a couple of pages ago. Let me just check.
Is he playing a game with us?
Let's start to fight.
Is there a code? Maybe he does come out, and it's just code.
Wait, hang on.
Hang on a sec.
Hungry for... That is an incredible spot, Joe.
Great spot.
Well, I spotted two and thought, I wonder if I can get three round it off.
You got
five. It's not very strong with
five,
that.
Six.
It was just two, yeah.
Is there any? Does he mention food in any other parts of the book?
He does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
The sandwiches.
Oh,
sandwiches.
Oh, I love
the sandwiches.
Sorry,
that's
true.
This is also...
He probably wrote that story and thought, fucking hungry after that.
Yeah. Really hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wish I'd eaten them sandwiches.
Yeah, why did I throw them in the bin?
I could do them right now.
Oh, God. This is the bit where you are like, this would make a really good sitcom. You've got Lee Trundle, classic Joker, who
does a 45-minute comedy set to them at some point.
I desperately want to see that.
Yeah.
I want
on YouTube somewhere.
I want to see the first 5 minutes, and then I want to bleach my eyes, I think, and then just watch the rest.
But this is just like on the spur of the moment. He does on a training camp. This would be good in that feature, which I have never brought back. They don't make him like that anymore. And Alan Tate fits in well with that as well.
That's very true.
There's a bit he mentioned about Alan Tate where he was so used to his mum doing everything for him.
Yes.
He cooks a pizza...
On an electric hob, on
the rings on the top.
It's bizarre.
And then he goes to a shop and he forgets that his mum's not driving him, and he sits in the passenger seat for 5 minutes, realises the car isn't moving, then goes, oh, I'm driving.
Imagine that as a sitcom. Imagine this whole thing. There's also a bit where Lee Trundle shoots Roberto Martinez in the balls.
Yeah,
that's true.
The RAF.
In paintball.
Yes.
And then like drives his bike into like a bush.
Yeah.
That's and true. They're all like laughing and he looks like a scarecrow and it's like, actually, he ended up with some broken ribs.
That is classic Gary Monk as well. Yes.
There's another bit we mentioned is Bejan Idrizai, I think his name was. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, who passed away when he played for Swansea, which is tragic, really sad, and that's he kind of sums up that numbness
actually
around the club.
Very well handled, I will say.
It was
by Gary.
Did. And it's actually really nice how the death of this poor guy seems to spur Gary and a lot of the team on to what they wanted to achieve.
And
it was
really nice.
Yeah, it was really tragic that bit. And
the t-shirts that they had.
Yeah, Gary organises. He organised them all to have, if they win the game, to all wear shirts with Idrizai on
the
shirt.
That's really nice. And there's a good photo of that later on.
Yeah, there is. And Gary organises that as well. Yeah. So that's
He writes about that bit well, and as we've seen with Darren Huckabee and Louis Saha,
you can handle death very well.
They get it wrong.
Yeah.
He is a monk.
Yeah, he is a monk, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, by the way, I thought in the cop drama, he would say your prayers a lot.
Oh, nice. What can jacket say? You got any smaller size?
Oh my god.
There's a bit in this chapter I found really funny where he said, I had started my own special style of celebration.
Oh, yeah.
I would wait for the players to get in a huddle and then I would jump on top of them. You mean they were celebrating without you? And then you ran over to them and jumped
you
on.
You were late to
and
the celebration.
We worked on it every day.
You pretended it was an intentional thing.
And also, he didn't make that up. Everyone does that.
Everyone's in a celebration.
It wasn't like...
And the other celebration
have
is
you
he
seen
nicks
what...
Alan Shearer's.
Yeah.
That's true.
But people weren't like, have you seen Gary Monk from League One? He started doing this thing where he jumps on players. Yeah.
Guys, it's time for your favourite segment. Of the show.
Okay.
Ken Song.
Oh, Ken Song! Yeah, hey! Ken.
That was too much of a pause response.
Sorry. I thought initially it was like Ken Song.
Yeah, same.
Like, Ken Song.
Ken Song!
Ken Song, former Macclesfield centre back. Yeah, my friend Ken
He's
Song.
On my list as well. Ken Song.
Last week we had Simeon Jackson to the tune of Miss Jackson.
So good.
This week, any guesses what you might be doing?
Any guesses of all the Norwich players that exist and all the songs that
all
exist?
All the singing. Interesting.
Yeah, because this podcast is
That's
running over
how
it.
How we do the process of writing the show anyway, the song anyway.
Okay, Alexander Tetti.
Ooh, he could do Alexander Tetti next time. He takes requests. So.
All right, good. That's good.
This one's the tune of 50 Cent's P.I.M.P.
Sure.
You'll never get past our number three. Play of the year in 2003. As our captain, he won us the league. Oh, yes, he's Norwich City's Adam Drury.
That's good.
Good.
That's really good.
It's a long one.
He rhymed three with three.
Yeah, he does. That is lazy, actually. Yeah. Ken. Boo. Ken.
Boo. Zong, 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 zong.
Pages go on. Martinez leaves, goes to Wigan. Sousa comes in. Peter Risdale's still the devil. Match report, match report, match report.
So many match reports.
So many match reports.
Many.
But guys, I've got a new game for you.
Oh.
This game is called Uptown Monk.
Oh.
Jack's eyes lit up.
My God, I love it.
This is good.
But you have to tell me who said this. Gary Monk or Bruno Mars? Because Uptown Monk gone give it to you.
Nice.
I was hoping that might be a catchphrase. Maybe you have to say that if you want to know the answer.
Yeah.
So Uptown Monk, go and give it to you.
Oh, that's quite a long.
That is quite long.
That's a long statement, isn't it?
I think you're going to figure out the answer to this pretty quickly. Question number one. I'm too hot. Hot damn, make a dragon want to retire, man. Was it Gary Monk or Bruno Mars?
I'm trying to think. Did he make a dragon retire at one point, Gary Monk?
I think he would have mentioned that.
Time's
next
ticking,
to
time's
the
ticking.
Stadium.
Let's go Mars.
You're right. It is Gary Mars.
You think Gary Mars?
It was Gary Mars.
It was Gary
both of them.
Question two. Who said it, Gary Monk or Bruno Mars? Michael Chopper was a good player, but an absolute idiot of a guy. He would act all macho in front of his own fans, but in truth, he was a coward. Who said that? Bruno Mars or Gary Monk?
Who forgot about that?
Gary Mars.
Or Gary Mars, yeah.
Or Gary Mars. That is such a weird bit as well, because it's like, he's a coward. He has some real great insults to people.
So
rotters, nice. Coward. You coward, Michael Chopra.
Coward.
You're right, that is a great bit of 24K magic.
Yeah, of course, that is Bruno
Mars. The answer is Gary Monk. Number three, because your sex takes me to paradise. Yeah, your sex takes me to paradise.
Louis Saha.
Louis Saha is the correct answer right. on that one. It's going to get repetitive. Despite being so far ahead of the other teams, we had a slight wobble. So by the time we played Carlisle away, we had only one low on two of our last eight games. Who said it? Bruno Mars or Gary Monk? After Russia.
Halfway through hand grenade.
This is a B-side, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's
talking about Carlisle.
It's going.
What are you expecting us to say?
On Friday, we played Yeovil at home. Oh, it was the first game under floodlights, and it ended with a female streaker on the pitch, which was an added bonus.
That was horrible, that bit. I really hated that bit.
But that could be a Bruno Mars bit.
I didn't
no, it
even couldn't. Take that
he
in.
Says Yeovil. What are you talking about?
Oh, on the reference
to Yeovil. I love the specific...
He's impressed by a naked woman, which is a very Bruno Mars lyric.
I was impressed by a streaker at Yeovil. The hit Bruno Mars song.
Yeah, that was a bonus.
Yeah, oh, what a bonus.
And finally, question six. Who said it, Bruno Mars or Gary Monk? Tomorrow I'll wake up, do some P90X, meet a really nice girl, have some really nice sex. It's Gary Monk.
It's Kenny Jacket.
That is a feature we will never be able to go back to. But Uptown Monk, it sure gave it to you.
Did you, I mean, I'm going to ask this, and I know what the answer is. Did you come up with that with the pun first? Or
did you come up with that no, in I, hospital?
I think we can all agree it's the best thing we've had on the show. Paolo Sousa comes in.
Sousa.
He's not a very good manager, it seems, does he?
Well, this is what's weird about it, because he says, like, oh, he was so bad. He was rubbish. We wouldn't do anything. Everyone hated him. They finished eighth.
Yeah, that's true. They did all right. But they did, like, no training or whatever.
Yeah,
he hired a bank manager as assistant manager, which is very strange.
I wonder if that's a Gary Monk exaggeration.
Do you think?
I don't know. It seems like one of those things where you're like, a bank manager? Really?
Yeah.
If he doesn't like you as a manager, he'll find flaws and then...
True.
It's true.
Needle down.
That's harsh, yeah, but it's true.
I don't think. I think Sosa's probably comes off unfairly in this book. Is how I feel.
Yeah, it's true.
It does introduce this bit of tactical wizardry, though. You go, despite all the difficulties, there were, of course, some positives that Paolo brought to the club. In many games, his insistence on the importance of team shape served as well. In training, he would stop the play and encourage the players to look at their positions and see where we're all positioned. That was definitely one of his strengths. That is the most basic thing you can do in football. All footballers should know where they're standing all the time. I'm on top.
Stop. Where are we?
Yeah. Like Martinez was like, oh, actually, one of our players has actually run down the dugout. Like, he's gone down the tunnel and I can't stop him.
Where is everyone?
Yeah.
This is why we go over this stuff every day, guys.
Yeah, come on.
Goalkeeper between the goal. Perfect. Come on.
There is a bit also where Paolo Sousa shouts at him because he's doing too much training. And Paolo shouts at him and says, who's the manager here? I wanted to say, you tell me.
Oh.
I've not seen a real one all season.
Oh.
Fucking burn!
Yes.
That is also something he thought about like
a
week
didn't
later.
Think about that at the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't at the time.
At the time you went, you?
You're I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Sousa. I'm really sorry.
But then Brendan Rodgers comes in, revolutionises the game for them, gets Swansea playing brilliant attacking, sexy football again after Paolo Sousa made them too defensive. Mm. The promotion ends on one of the bit of the book that totally stumped me. They all go to a Rod Stewart concert. At the end, Rod Stewart, you are the same as me here.
Yeah.
Rod Stewart plays at Liberty Stadium and all the players... go along to watch it.
Well, no, only six of them go.
Sorry, only six. They all replied, only six of them go because
just leave after
they're
them.
Too good for a Rod Stewart concert.
That's the idea. They'd be like, oh, I'm not going to go to a Rod Stewart concert. I'm sorry.
On the picture I play, Rod Stewart turns up. He brings up Gary Monk on stage. And then at the end of the gig, he was moving down the line, shaking everyone's hand. As he got closer, I just thought, you know what? I'm going in for the hug. When he got to me, I hugged him and he said, how's your mum?
That is.
I must remember to ask her how he knows her. And then ends it.
This book is usually very down the line. Then suddenly it'll swerve wildly.
Is that your mum joke by Rod Stewart?
I don't know. I think that's definitely a line from Rod. That is a smooth line.
How's your mum, Gary?
Yeah. Say hello to your mum.
Peter Risdale sends his regards. Peter Risdale has paid me to seduce your mum.
Has Rod Stewart had a sexual relationship with Gary Monk's mum?
No.
I think you're all taking this very seriously and it's just a cheeky little Rod.
I think that's bizarre.
Why would you say that? Like, I would never hug someone, I met them and go, how's your mum?
Can I also say that when they won the playoff final, He says, I suppose as a player, when you're told that you're going to parade through the streets, the greatest fear is that no one will turn up. Is that the everyone's practicing?
Oh, great. I bet no one will come.
Yeah, it's so weird. We've just been promoted to the Premier League, the biggest, one of the biggest leagues in the world. I bet you no one's going to turn up.
We've got 40 maybe attendings. Yeah. Who knows? And then the Premier League.
Then the Premier League is 10 pages.
10 pages of the Premier League.
So sure.
They're doing all right. And
at
then
this
end.
Point.
Yeah.
It's so irritating. You, like, I kept on, I sort of, weirdly, I was getting to, like, because it's 159 pages, and I was getting to 155 and being like, this can't be it. This can't be the end. Maybe the font gets really small. And I started going through being like, nope, he's, like, genuinely, the match reports go up to page 157. That is where the match reports go up to.
Mm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's just, it's like the Sopranos. You know when the Sopranos ends mid-sentence? It's a famous... Oh, everyone
the blackout. Yeah.
The blackout ends mid-sentence.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
I've never seen it and I knew. Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
I did know it had that, but still. So has this book changed you? Have I changed you? Have I got you around to liking it?
No, I hated it.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely hated it. I was so angry. Genuinely, I was so angry at the end of it. I read it on the tube. Sorry. I finished it on the way here and I walked down the street to your house and I was fuming. I was like pounding the streets with anger. I was like, how?
What are my streets? I pay like taxes and stuff towards those streets. My council tax goes to.
Look, they're a mess now, okay? I was so furious at the end of this book. The thing that was frustrating is that the story is really good. The characters are really good. There's so much really good stuff in there and it just falls apart. The whole, at the very pinnacle of what should be the best bit of the book. Basically, he should have either written it as soon as they won and finished it before they won the playoffs and been like, who knows where we'll be in the Premier League. Mm. I'm going to go on this journey with you. Don't give you like 30 games where you go, oh, we've done quite well. Bye.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God, just it felt like a mess.
Mm.
A frustrating mess.
Okay. Amy? Yeah. James, similar feeling still.
Very, very similar.
Not changed by the book.
Yeah. No, I feel like he definitely gets his wife to call him the £90 million block. during sex. And she's just
true.
Like, he's like, who's the £90 million block? She's like, you are. Who is, you are. Just,
Brendan said it, you'll say it.
Maybe there could have been a sexy reading if they put that
it could have been. Yeah. That's what sprung to mind.
What a shame. Guys, time for this week's quiz. Right.
No. It's only because there's so much detail,
it didn't seep
and
in.
I reckon at least one of them is going to be a specific attendance.
There are some more specific ones this week. I'm going to give you all names as always. I'm going to call this week. I'm going to call. You have to shout out your name, and your name is going to be things that Gary Monk calls people. Jack, you're a joke. Amy, you're a disgrace.
Nice.
And James, you're a stinker.
Yes.
So what are your names, Jack?
Joke.
Amy?
Disgrace.
And Stinker.
Yeah.
Podcast taking a real turn. Say it. Say what you are.
I missed Pappy.
Bro.
Question one. What momentous ceremony... you can see the answers.
Oh, sorry.
What momentous ceremony took place during the final game at the Vatch, Swansea's old stadium? Apart from, you know, the game. What was like a one... There was one big thing that happened in the pre-match warm-up.
Oh, God.
Something really specific I want you to mention.
Oh, no.
It's a ceremony.
Changing of the guard.
You got to shout out your name, Jack.
Oh, joke. I mean, the problem is my name is very similar to to joke.
I don't think any of you are going to get it. Are you?
No
Stinky?
Idea. What is it?
Stinker.
Stinky.
Easy.
The marriage of Sybil and Cyril the
Swan. Oh, I forgot about that. I did make a note of that. God, that was weird.
God.
It was also the
one point to James.
But what was that? Was that a genuine? Was that like a thing they'd put on that the two mascots get married, or was that the two mascots were a man and a woman and they were?
Or did they
have two actual swans?
Or yeah, did they do actual swans?
Don't know. Doesn't go into that. Question two. Who are Carol Gogual and Julie Opson, and how does he describe them?
Joke!
Oh, he's in.
They are the people who put him up on his digs in Southampton.
Yes.
And lovely ladies?
Close. Amy, you want to steal?
I would have said...
Sorry, disgrace?
Disgrace.
I feel like that's such an undermining thing to say.
Kind? Yeah, no, I don't know.
Any stinky? Stinker.
Sticksville. It's becoming personal.
He calls them two special ladies.
Two special ladies.
The most Partridge member. Question number three, an actual football question.
Wait, hang on. Did I get that point?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, 1 point to joke.
Joke Bernhard.
You always win these quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Pay attention. Well.
Yeah.
An actual football question.
The only way I can confirm that you won't abandon me for Lean Chicken.
Oh, yeah, you lose the point for Lean Chicken.
No!
You can keep it. In the Championship playoff final, 4-2 versus Reading, Scott Sinclair scored a hat-trick. Who scored the other goal?
Joke.
Yes.
Darren Prattley.
No, and you're out for this round.
Stinker.
Yes.
Joe Allen.
No.
Nathan Dyer?
Sorry.
Disgrace?
Nathan Dyer. Disgrace Nathan Dyer.
The disgrace.
Your mission is disgrace Nathan Dyer.
Wrong. All wrong. Stephen Dobby. All wrong.
Stephen Dobby. Oh, for God's sake.
Give one.
And,
at the end, Dobby.
Joke has won again.
Yes! Only three.
I had some more questions, but they've been taken out.
Yeah, ruined. Which is not very good.
Leaderboard at the end. Currently, Mayoshida's winning. At the moment.
Yeah, he is.
At the bottom, Louis Sahar with 5.5, I think he's on.
Absolutely devastated about that.
What are we going to give out of 10? Jack.
4.
You loved saying that as well.
It's the first time I felt like I can give a proper score.
Yeah.
Because it's quantifiably worse than Huckabee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amy?
I definitely overscored Huckabee, but 4.
James?
4 as well.
I'm going for 6 because I think it's actually slightly better than Huckabee. I don't think it's a 7.
Nah.
So that is 18 divided by 4. 4.5? Yeah, 4.5.
4.5, so he's bottom.
Sadly, you're bottom.
Sorry, Gary.
I'm sorry. I'm
Gary with the double R.
Bottom of the Football Book Club League.
You're a disgrace.
Anyone has any thoughts on the book? If you read it or want to read along, message us reviews at Footy Book Club on Twitter. Review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. Any last words, guys? Up to Monk, gonna give it to you. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It starred James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Amy Lawson, and James Baldwin, and was created and produced by me, James Bug. Thanks to Gary Monk for writing the book. But, I hear you all cry. What are they up to now? Well, Gary Monk went on to play another 1.5 seasons in the Premier League and is now Sheffield Wednesday manager. He's probably in Dubai calling a bellboy a disgrace as we speak. Probably. Alan Tate burned his house down trying to cook a Weetabix in the microwave. Lee Trundle headlined live at the Apollo and did 45 minutes of improv. He was booed off the stage. Bruno Mars went on to gross almost $400 million from the 24K Magic World Tour. He didn't play the Liberty Stadium. And Darren Prattley is now an eyebrow model. The music, Gregorian Chant and Lobby Time are the property of Kevin MacLeod of filmmusic.io and used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. See you next week for more Football Book Club. Bye-bye.